content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Dave's Garden website, the Triangle Gardener magazine, and the North Carolina Extension website, and maybe from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics. We'll start with Dave's Garden website. Top procrastinated gardening projects and how to stop putting them off by Anna Burke. Is there something you've been putting off in the garden? There are things we love about gardening and things that we don't. Nothing makes this clearer than the list of procrastinated garden projects that builds over the course of the season. If you are already dreading this year's to-do list, here are a few ideas to help you check these projects off your list. 1. Weeding. Let's start with the bane of every gardener's existence, weeds. Weeding is a year-long endeavor from start to finish. It starts in the spring and ends in the fall with cover crops, mulch, and weed barriers. If you live in a warmer climate, then weeding can go on indefinitely. Some weeding is easy. Newly sprouted weeds pull up without much trouble, but more established weed patches take hours of back-breaking work to eradicate. The problem with procrastinating weeding, of course, is that the longer you wait, the worse the weeds get. So how do you stop putting it off? The first thing any weed-hating gardener should do is purchase a weeding tool that works really well and is easy on the body. A long-handled stirrup hoe or wire weeder is my personal weeding tool of choice, as it allows me to tackle long rows of vegetables with ease. But you will have to discover the tools that work best for you. Having the right tool makes weeding less strenuous and allows you to get more done faster, taking away some of the dread. For really difficult patches that perhaps you've been ignoring for weeks or months, you will need additional motivation. Listen to music, audiobooks, or gardening podcast while doing particularly unpleasant garden tasks to make the time pass faster. If you are overrun with weeds, there are two ways to go about fixing it, depending on your schedule and fitness. Look at your calendar and devote either one weekend to a weeding bonanza, or break it up over the course of a few weeks, doing a little at a time until you are caught up. Not that we ever really get caught up with weeds. 2. Fence repair. A drive through the countryside reveals that one of the most frequently procrastinated farm and garden tasks is fence repair. Repairing fences takes time, sweat, and often money, so it's no wonder that we tend to overlook it. The downside to this procrastination is that garden fences protect our gardens and yards from unwanted visitors like wildlife and stray dogs. If you live in a more suburban area, neighborhood pressure might make keeping up on your fence a little easier. But if you've been putting the job off for a while now, here are a few things that can help. Painting, repairing, and maintaining a fence can take a bit of time, so make a day of it with a reward system in place for yourself. Put your favorite drink in the fridge or lay out a tasty snack for when you are done. You can also ask a friend or family member to help you with the tough parts, because nothing is as frustrating as juggling a board, level, and screwdriver at the same time. 3. Mulching. Some people love mulching. Personally, I detest it. This hatred could stem from one too many summer landscaping jobs, or it could just be that mulching is hot, sweaty, dirty work. Plus, unless you can get it for free, mulch is not exactly cheap. However, the benefits of mulching far outweigh the negatives. The best trick I have learned to avoid procrastination is to place the mulch in a place where I have to look at it, and where it might even get in my way. If you order it by the yard, have it dumped in your driveway. If you buy it by the bag, stack it in front of a tool or doorway you use on a regular basis. The inconvenience will force you to get that mulch spread spoon sooner. 4. Pruning. Whether it's your rose bush, the raspberry patch, or an apple tree, pruning is a time-sensitive and a time-consuming garden chore. Procrastinating your pruning can actually damage your plants, so it is best to get it out of the way at the appropriate time of year. Depending on the plant, this could be spring or fall. Some hedges will require regular trimming to keep their shape. I happen to find pruning very satisfying, but the number of unkempt shrubberies in the world is a testimony to the procrastination of my fellow gardeners. As with weeding, you need a pair of pruners suited to the job. Keep a small pair of hand pruning shears and a pair of long-handled loppers to allow you to reach a variety of heights, along with a sturdy pair of thorn-proof gloves. Dull shears make dull work, so it is also a good idea to put an edge on your pruners prior to use, or you will really start to dread the task. Once you have the right pruning tools, the only thing between you and your garden is time and willpower. Waiting for a nice day is just another form of procrastination, but when it comes to pruning certain plants, you really do want to wait for good weather, as too much moisture can be problematic. This is the advantage to early spring pruning, when plants are still dormant and less susceptible to disease. Need more help motivating yourself? Pruning comes with its own ultimatum. Prune when the time is right, because you cannot prune later without damaging your plants. And now from NC State Extension Gardener, here's a plant watch, Virginia Sweet Spire. Fall is a spectacular time for native perennials. Virginia Sweet Spire has showy rakings of white flowers that bloom in late spring and make way for glossy green leaves that turn vibrant red and orange in the fall. The flowers are produced on last year's growth or old wood. Depending on the cultivar, the flowers may be upright or cascading. Little Henry is a popular dwarf cultivar of this plant with an attractive arcing form. It can handle a variety of soil conditions and planting sites, including low and wet sites. Not only is this plant native, it is deer-resistant, a source of nectar for pollinators, drought-tolerant, and produces an attractive display for three-fourths of the year. Little Henry is 3 to 5 feet tall and has a spreading growth habit in an urban landscape setting. It can grow taller in a more natural shaded setting. Incredible edibles. Make room for muscadines. The muscadine grape, originated in the southeast, thrives in our heat and defies diseases and insects that decimate their relatives. Muscadines can be dried, eaten fresh, made into desserts, or fermented into sweet wines. Most muscadines are dark-skinned, but there are bronze cultivars, some of which are called scuppernongs, because they were first found along the Scuppernong River in North Carolina. You can choose a cultivar based on fruit color, size, sugar content, skin thickness, cold hardiness, ripening time, and whether the flowers are self-fertile or require a second vine for pollination. Supreme, female, and Nesbit, self-fertile, are the two purple varieties rated in the top five fresh eating cultivars in North Carolina. And Summit, female, Terra, self-fertile, and Triumph, self-fertile, are the three bronze varieties in the top five. They need full sun and good drainage, but are otherwise an easy plant for every garden. Now, sustainability. Using mulch in the vegetable garden. Using mulch in your vegetable garden will help to conserve moisture, reduce weeds, discourage disease, and improve soil health. If your goal is organic gardening, mulch will help reduce inputs such as fertilizer and pesticides. And like landscape mulch, it may also improve the garden's appearance. Any kind of mulch can be used in the vegetable garden, but the ideal one is a weed-free hay straw. Apply in a 2 to 3 inch layer over bare soil. Avoid using landscape fabrics or plastics, as they are not necessary in most home beds. Mulch can be applied before or after planting. Mulch should be applied once or twice a year and can be tilled in as a soil amendment at the end of any season. Mulch may also help overwinter temperate vegetable plants like lettuce and kale. Snuggle up the mulch around the crowns of vegetable plants when freezing temperatures are expected. Keep in mind some additional tips. Look for weed-free mulch. Consider an organic source to prevent any carryover of herbicides into the vegetable garden. Avoid letting the mulch pile against the stems of plants, and remove established weeds prior to application. Now from the Triangle Gardener magazine, Planting a Woody Winter Wonderland by Bree Arthur. The possibilities are endless when it comes to designing and planting a landscape abundant with winter interest. In the Southeast, we have so many gorgeous plants to choose from. Winter really is a time for the bones of your garden to shine. As a former propagator and grower of trees and shrubs, woody ornamentals are my first love. Having grown up in Michigan, where winters are white and frozen, seeing things come to life in the off-season will never cease to amaze me. Boasting fragrant, colorful blooms, berries, and interesting bark, these recommendations will make your winter extra special. Winter interest flowers. Consider planting a collection of camellias for dynamic winter blooms. Camellias are a classic plant of the South, brought to the U.S. by early European explorers from their native Asia. Camellias are well suited for the climate and soil of the Southeast. They thrive in acidic conditions and need to be planted high to ensure proper drainage. Invest in fall and winter blooming varieties to extend your flowering season from August to April. The October Magic Camellia Sasanqua series offers a wide selection of colors and growth habits. These generally start blooming in mid-autumn and can flower through the holidays in mild climates. As for the winter blooming camellias, you have over 25,000 registered varieties to choose from. To make that decision a little easier, here is my top five can't live a happy life without selections. Crimson candles, Jacks, Nucio's Cameo, Nucio, N-U-C-C-I-O, Royal Velvet, and Seafoam. Winter is also a time for incredible fragrance, both outside and in. One of my favorite winter habits is walking through the garden, collecting small flowering branches for indoor arrangements. Bush honeysuckle is a sweet addition to a property border that will fill the air with a sweet perfume. Other winter showstoppers include flowering apricots, Prunus mume. These small trees add a pop of color when you least expect it and range in colors from white to dark red. Look for varieties such as Peggy Clark or Kobay, K-O-B-A-I, for beautiful, fragrant pink blossoms in the middle of winter. Of course, no one should be without the unstoppable Edgeworthia chrysantha, also known as paper bush. This deciduous shrub is a perfect landscape specimen, complete with bright yellow, super fragrant blossoms in the midst of winter. Related to Daphne odora, paper bush is more tolerant of wet soil, making it a better, long-lived option for the southern landscape. I will never tire of fragrant tea olives, Osmanthus fragrans, whose tiny white flowers mark the start of the cool season. The orange-flowered selection, Aurantiacus, bloomed for weeks and provided nectar for diverse pollinators. Winter interest, bark. I have also grown to depend on trees and shrubs that provide interest from their bark. Take, for example, the one and only coral bark maple. The bright red new growth of the branches look incredible against an evergreen backdrop or a clear blue winter sky. They are equally impressive when used in cut flower arrangements, wreaths, and other indoor holidays displays. Another favorite shrub with an interesting branching habit is Harry Lauder's walking stick. This hazelnut relative makes an impressive specimen in the landscape and offers dynamic curly branches for table settings. Exfoliating bark is another way to create seasonal interest. Nanches crepe myrtle is a great example of a tree that offers year-round beauty from its smooth mahogany-colored trunks. Strortia species, Chinese elms, and the winter flowering Cornus moss all have bark that peels to show color variation. My all-time favorite bark specimen is Acer triflorum, a small-statured tree with butter-yellow fall color and the greatest trunk texture of all time. Winter interest berries. As a holiday tradition, many people harvest berries from their holly trees to decorate for the season. Winterberry hollies is an ideal specimen for southern gardens, boasting an upright habit with leaf-free branches covered in red, yellow, or orange berries. Other specimens with colorful berries include Nandina, which many home landscapes already have planted. These Asian native berries are best harvested for the holidays, preventing any potential invasive seeding or harm to passing birds in late winter. Winter interest foliage. Conifers are the most reliable source for winter interest foliage. From dark green boughs of traditional holiday firs to bright yellow branches of curdalo, southern tolerant conifers such as cryptomeria, junipers, and arborvita are an easy way to create screening, habitat, and easy-to-access holiday decorations. stuff containers and window boxes with conifer branches to add long-lasting color and texture with no water needed. The addition of bulbs and lights will show your holiday spirit. Broadleaf evergreens like the native southern magnolia are fabulous additions to property borders. Look for interesting varieties like teddy bear with round leaves or little Jim that offers a long blooming season. Nothing says Christmas in the South quite like cut magnolia branches. An unexpected pop of tropical texture is Trachycarpus fortunae, also known as the hardy windmill palm. This is an excellent winter interest specimen for the landscape and as a cut foliage addition to containers. The fronds look great year-round, especially with a dusting of snow. This winter, I encourage you to create a woody winter wonderland for your landscape. Indulge in these plants and more, and impress everyone who passes by your home. Bree Arthur is an author, horticulturalist, and international speaker living in Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. She has been dubbed a revolutionary for her leadership in the suburban foodscape movement. For more information, visit BrieGrows.com. That's BrieGrows.com. Or email Brie, Brie, at BrieGrows.com. And now, from Jerry Baker's Terrific Garden Tonics, here's a houseplant colorizer tonic. Spotted or striped, patterned or plain, houseplants come in practically every color of the rainbow. Here's a simple formula that will keep all of them at their most vibrant best all through the year. Here are the ingredients. 1 twice-used tea bag, 1 teaspoon of antiseptic mouthwash, 1 teaspoon of baby shampoo, 1 teaspoon of ammonia, and 1 quart of water. Instructions: mix these ingredients in a bucket and let the mixture steep for about 10 minutes. Fish out the tea bag, pour the liquid into a handheld sprayer, and mist spray your plant's foliage every week or so. And a refresher course. If you've been properly watering your houseplants and they're still too moist, the drainage holes in the pots might be clogged. Remove the plants and clean their pots thoroughly, then repot them with fresh potting soil. You should notice a big improvement in the drainage and in the health and happiness of your houseplants. And here's a great idea. Do you need to work with a prickly houseplant like a cactus? Before you put your gloves on, wrap a piece of heavy tape around each of your fingers. That way, even if the stickers penetrate the gloves, they won't jab your skin. Duct tape, fabric tape, or electrical tape will give you the surest protection, but several layers of transparent tape will do the job in a pinch. And terrific time savers. To cut down on houseplant watering chores, place 3 used tea bags in the bottom of the pot before filling it with soil. The tea bags will not only help retain moisture, but will also add much-needed nutrients to the soil as they decompose. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker, especially for rejuvenating potted plants that are growing in tired soil. Simply mix a can of beer or a shot of bourbon, scotch, vodka, or gin with a gallon of room temperature water. Add 1 ounce of dishwashing liquid and let it sit for a half a day or so. Then add your favorite plant food and water your potted plants with this boozy treat. They will Thank you. Don't bug me. What's the best indoor insect repellent for houseplants? Moth crystals. Simply sprinkle the crystals directly onto the soil surface in all your indoor plots, and soon they'll be bug-free. Just be sure to keep these plants out of reach of children and pets. And a houseplant repotting mix. If your indoor beauties are getting a little too big for their britches, then it's time to move them up and out to help them settle into their new homes without missing a beat. Blend up a batch of my houseplant repotting mix. The ingredients: 1 pound of potting soil, 1 pound of professional potting mix, 1/4 cup of Epsom salts, 1/4 cup of bone meal, and 1 tablespoon of instant tea granules. Instructions: mix these ingredients in a bucket and use the mixture to fill in around the root mass when you repot your houseplants. Do not pack it in, though. You do not want to suffocate the roots and kill the chill. If you have indoor plants that you keep on windowsills, it's a good idea to move them on winter nights to protect them from the cold. If they're simply too large or difficult to move, try this. Slip a section of newspaper between them and the window for extra insulation. And make your own pebble beach. Need to raise the humidity around a single special houseplant? Set it on a shallow saucer or pie tin filled with small pebbles. Then add enough water to almost reach the top of the pebbles. Add more water every few days to replace the water that evaporates. And the most nutritious water for your houseplants sure is fishy. When you change the water in your fishbowl or freshwater aquarium, save the old stuff and feed it to your potted plants. The fish have already added the best natural fertilizer that money can buy. After a day spent grubbing around in the garden planting bulbs, your fingernails can get pretty grimy. When I was a youngster, Grandma Put had me try this trick. Before heading out to the garden, I lightly scratched my fingernails over a bar of soap. Come clean-up time, the dirt and soap would wash right out. When buying cannas, look for the term self-cleaning. No, doesn't mean they'll do your laundry. It means the old flowers drop off the plants all by themselves, and that translates into time savings for you. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler. You have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. We hope you have enjoyed it. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long, until the next time.